Praise the name of the Lord. It's good to be here. Sorry for my tardiness. Such things happen. I've been on a 9-hour flight from Miami, and I just got here. We arrived about 10, 11 o'clock this morning. So sorry for being late. I got my timings a bit mixed up. That's why. I'm sorry, ma. I hope it's accepted. Thank you, man. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. Father, we thank you for vision. We thank you because you are the one who gives a vision. You are the one who makes your people to run with the vision. And Father, because you have said that the vision will always speak, we believe and we know and we have seen that this vision is speaking. So Father, as we gather here today, we know that your word has gone forth. Your people have been blessed. Your people again will be blessed. So Father, we pray that you breathe upon your word. And all that we are going to do here today shall be only to the glory of your name. Father, no man will share from your glory. Everything we give unto you. Thank you, our Father, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prevailers is now my family. Amen. And I think I'm brief Prevailers now. And each time we have the opportunity, we join you on the prayer line. It's always very impactful. Is always very interesting. I always leave with something each time on the prayer line. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, our sharing is engaging. I didn't know where I got this, but whilst I did, it just remained with me. Or maybe sister, because Pastor Helen has a very good love for the word covenant. But I didn't know where I got it. While I was meditating, it dropped in my spirit, and I said, it's engaging the covenant of supernatural healing streams of life. So when I walked in here, I said, it's engaging the supernatural. Amen. So the only word absent here is the word covenant. So it's not my own creation, but I'm sure I will try and weave it together. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, when I was called to look at this theme of a sharing this morning or this afternoon, what first struck me was a scripture I saw, or rather, what came into my spirit immediately was a scripture in Revelation chapter 22. Where it talked about the healing of the nations. In Revelation 22, the Bible speaking futuristically here, it says, and he showed me, from verse 1, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It talks about the water of life. Please note the word water of life. In verse 2, he says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Amen. And as I was meditating, a scripture came into my spirit again, which was when God created the garden. And the Bible says, and in the midst of the garden was the tree of life. So, and he says here, he says, in the midst of the tree, in the midst of the street, was what? Was the tree of life. So what struck me immediately was that present here, I know is the tree of life with the fruits and the leaves that were present to heal the nations. Praise the Lord. And you may look at yourself, because really, who is the tree of life? We may liken him to be Jesus. We may liken it to be Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the root of the stem of Jesse. A tree is not a tree without a root. And the Bible tells us, it says we are the vine. It says Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Amen. Where will the fruit grow? It's on the branch, right? So we are the one who bears fruit. So you can look at yourself also as part of the leaves that is meant for the healing of the nations. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's just to make us see that present here, I believe strongly in my spirit that not just individuals, but I believe also that this ministry shall be a vessel for the healing of nations. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. And because you are partakers of this ministry as well, you also will be a vessel for the healing of nations. Amen. Why? Because the nations need to be healed. Because the nations are sick. The things that we heard about in the 15th century is what we are seeing happening here today. The level of savagery is frightening. Amen. The level of savagery that we see in nations today is frightening. People are not afraid of beheading the other person. I come from a country where I have seen a live video that a friend is on my phone, where captors were called, the captives were called to slaughter one another. After you slaughter your brother, you go into the pit, the next person will come and slaughter you, the same person you slaughtered the other person, with knives. And the people are watching over you. The nations are sick. Amen. The nations are sick. And it's only the leaves that comes from the tree of life that can heal the nations. And I believe that you are part of the leaves. Amen. We are part of the fruit. Amen. For the healing of the nations. Amen. In the name of Jesus. The nations are sick. Whilst I was in America, I was watching one of the news network, and I saw Elton John accusing another gay couple, or two other gay couple, another gay couple, Dolce and Gabbana, saying that how dare you call the son that I have a synthetic child. Amen. You see, people they don't even care. The values have been destroyed completely. Amen. And Dolce and Gabbana was just saying, well, they feel that they are gay themselves. You know, how many of us know Dolce and Gabbana? We wear their clothing. Amen. They are openly gay, and they've been like that for 20-something years. And they are stars. And Elton John, who is another star, says, why will Dolce and Gabbana say that the child that he gave birth to with another man, are you hearing me? With another man is a synthetic child. President is now calling to say that people should ban Dolce and Gabbana, or they should not wear their clothing anymore. So it has now become a normal thing. It was unheard of before, but that tells us that the nations are sick. Praise the Lord. And it's only us, I believe, it's only the tree of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, who can provide that which is required, which is needed to heal the nations. And you will be that vessel in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I also want to focus on this the topic for today. And I want to go straight to it, and please come with me as we look through it. I have 20 minutes, sir. Praise the Lord. So looking at this theme, the first thing that strikes me here is the word supernatural. Now, if you consider you're a Christian, what is the thing that comes to mind as a Christian? For me, it's supernatural. Because there is no Christianity without the supernatural. Without the supernatural, there's no Christianity. So if you take away the supernatural from our faith, from this faith that we call Christianity, it is nothing but a shell. It's a shell. Amen? So looking through, I call this a wonder book. Because it's a supernatural book. It's not written by man. Because how would somebody give an account of the first five books of the Bible? An account how the world was created as if it was there. That tells you that's supernatural. Amen? How would one man remember in details everything that is written when he was not there? That tells you there must have been a divine breath upon that person to write. So this book I call a wonder book is supernatural. Amen. Praise the Lord. So through this book, we have at different times see accounts that lend credence to the supernatural. Even in this book, you will encounter events that it is nothing but a demonstration of the supernatural. One man stood by the sea and stretched forth his hands, and the sea parted. That was supernatural. Amen? In Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul speaking here, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe." He says, in the gospel of Christ, that is in this gospel that we talk about, he says, resides the power of God. Resides the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul also speaking, he says, "When I came to you," he says, "and my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." That tells us that each time he comes, he said, no, I'm not coming with man's wisdom. I may be a man, but really, I'm not a man. I'm actually a supernatural person because I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. And that's what Paul was declaring to us. So he didn't see himself as just a man. He sees himself, or rather, he saw himself at that time as someone who possesses the Spirit of God, and that makes him a supernatural person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word alone, but in what? In power." In power. Praise the Lord. So, I may want to ask quickly, that what is the supernatural? That very word itself, supernatural, breeds what we call a miracle. For the supernatural that is present in Christianity is the union of deity with humanity. The supernatural that we experience in Christianity is the union of God and man. And that's why it is supernatural. This union was what was first manifested in Lord Jesus Christ and with the apostles on the day of Pentecost, or with those who were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The supernatural is Christ revealing the creative energy of God acting here in the physical realm. The supernatural is God intruding into the sensory realm, to the realm of the senses. The supernatural is the Spirit of God dominating both the physical and spiritual forces. That's the supernatural. And if you look at the hymn, it talks about the supernatural healing streams of life. So supernatural healing is the power of God that is present to heal a person. Is the power of God being present to heal a person? And whenever God heals a person, he is making normal what the adversary has distorted. So in other words, we can say the supernatural or a miracle, what we call a miracle, is restoring what Satan has destroyed. Praise the Lord. Now, if you want to look at the ministry of Jesus, who is our example, you will see that in all of his miracles, they were beyond human reasoning. And that's where I want us to please, pay close attention to. Every one of his miracles were beyond human reasoning. For example, he made a distorted limb to become whole again. He healed the leper and made the deceased flesh become pale and wholesome again. In other words, when he heals a leper, instantly you start seeing a change. Instantly, you start seeing a change. For some people who possess the Spirit of God, I've read in some books where a young man, he saw somebody with a club foot. A club foot. And he picked up the foot and said, "In the name of Jesus, start to correct yourself." And they saw the bones cracking, and coming into place. That is the supernatural. And that is what Christianity is all about. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We saw Jesus raise a man from the dead. And this man had been dead in the grave for nearly a week. His body had begun to decay, but he became perfectly whole. Someone said that by that time, maggots would have gotten rid of the body. But somebody also said that, in fact, they were forced to spew out the things they had eaten. That is the supernatural. Amen? Jesus walked on water. And all the accounts that we read of him were wholly supernatural. He saw a storm, he told the storm, cease. And the storm ceased. So that's to tell me that the storm had what? Had ears to hear. Praise the Lord. You remember the fig tree when Jesus was going, he was along with his disciples, and he wanted to take something from the fig tree, and he said there was no fruit on the tree. And Jesus wondered. He said, that account tells me, okay, Jesus was going to take something from the tree, and the tree, the Bible says, and the tree answered him. No, and Jesus answered the tree. So for Jesus to answer the tree, that tells us that the tree was speaking to Jesus. Jesus answered him. So that means the tree was speaking to Jesus and saying to Jesus, "I know you today. Sorry. Excuse me. Today, how do I translate that now? Not a done deal. Oti Jegba will mean that today you have missed it. God bless you. You lost it. You missed it." Because Jesus was hoping to eat from the fruit of that tree, and there was no tree on it. So that means the circumstance of that tree was speaking to Jesus. And Jesus answered the tree. And that's part of what we are going to be doing. Because for every circumstance that speaks to us, either in our body, in our home, in our pockets, in our bank accounts, you will answer that thing. You will answer it. Because it's living. You may not know. And they will hear that word. That's why in the book of Ezekiel says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the question is the supernatural part of God's plan for us? Absolutely. Absolutely. If we are Christians, supernatural is part of the plan of God for our lives. Indeed, we are supposed to live supernaturally. Because we are supernatural beings. Because if the word of God is supernatural, the Bible says we are born of the word. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? By the word of God. If this word is supernatural, then we have the seed of the word of God in us. Praise the Lord. Now, if we go back to our theme and we say, is the supernatural a part of, yes, is supernatural a part of God's plan for us today? Yes, it is. Now, where I added my own word, the covenant, it suggests a strong relationship that exists between us and God as a result of a new birth. So if you are born again, you have the seed of the supernatural in you. You can be healed and you can heal people. It's not you, but the Spirit of God that is in you. You can receive healing, but inside you also resides the power to do what? To heal. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and what? And with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For what? For God was with him. So if God is with you and you are anointed, then you have the ability also to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's not just for us to receive, but we also have the ability and the power to heal, because we'll go beyond the stage of just receiving. Amen? Because you can acquire the ability. Yes, you can develop the faith to receive. But the ultimate that God is wanting us to do is for us to also be objects of delivering people from illnesses and sicknesses. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you will, because we're talking about, I said I introduced the covenant. If you're a child of God, you are part of the covenant. Amen? And healing is part of the covenant. Well-being is part of the covenant. Healing is the fruit of the covenant. Redemption is a fruit of the covenant. Redemption is a supernatural, because I have not seen anywhere where a man, holy criminal, all his thoughts were all the time evil. Indeed, it's like fish swimming in water. The fish loves to swim in the water. Likewise, a sinner loves to sin. When I was a sinner, I loved to sin. Amen? Because that's the only thing I know how to do. Indeed, if I don't sin, I look for sin to commit. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I have a warped nature. But you see, it is only in Christianity that we have seen people who were living a life that was so terrible, and one night they changed like this. I know it's only in Christianity. That's supernatural. A total criminal is only in Christianity. Let me give my own life example so that you will know that I used to hard drinking. Had smoking, I smoked everything, women, everything. And in one night, I woke up from my hotel room. I had distributed girls in different hotel rooms. And I woke up when I had an encounter in the room with God. He came, he's like, he had a sword in his hand. This is the last day for you. I woke up. I knew someone was in that room with me. And I said, yes, this is the day. I agreed to his proposal. I left that room completely whole. Changed. And you can imagine someone who was neck deep in something that is addictive. Praise the Lord. It's only in Christianity. I've heard of mullahs and malams and those in the Islamic faith where, you know, they like to do things by their own power. So the man kept looking at a woman and he had this lust for the woman. He said, how can I continue to have this lust? I'm supposed to be a holy person. And because he's a holy person, because he's very zealous, the man gouged out his eyes and said, I will henceforth not look at any woman. So after the incident, he started seeing the same pictures. Amen. The pictures were there, but the eyes were gone. So it is not a problem of the eyes. It is actually a problem of what? The mind. So what he needed was not the gouging of the eyes, but a change of mind. A change of nature. A change of nature, which is supernatural. It's not what any man can do. It's what God, the Almighty God, by His Spirit, can do in us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what I'm saying now is, if you are a child of God, you have a covenant relationship with God. If you're a child of God, you have a covenant relationship with God. And if God at that time, you see, the reason why Israel was who they were, it's not because Israel was so holy or Israel was so good, but God decided to cut a covenant with a man, Abraham. And because of that covenant, whatever Israel did, God will just look and say, no, I remember my covenant with Abraham. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. In chapter 7, in verse 7, Deuteronomy 7:7, I'll read from 7 to 9. It says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. He said, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath is what? Is a covenant. Because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So the only reason why God did what he was doing for Israel, even up till now, is because what? Because of the covenant. Amen? So if you realize that you have a covenant relationship with God, and wherever you are today, it was the covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ that made it possible. It was the covenant. It was the covenant. It was a covenant. So now, praise the Lord. Now, let me quickly move. Now, the question is, how do we now engage this covenant of supernatural healing streams of life? How do we engage it? How do we engage the covenant? Because if we're in a covenant, how do we engage the covenant? A covenant is an agreement, we know that. A covenant is an understanding between parties. We know that. So how do you engage the covenant? Now, if it is a covenant, you don't pray for a covenant, do you? You don't. You don't pray for a covenant. So the covenant really, I want to put that in quote, does not answer to prayers. You enter into a covenant. It's an agreement. You enter into a covenant. So therefore, what you need to engage a covenant that will provoke the supernatural is, number one, knowledge of the terms of the covenant. Do you know that Jesus died because of the covenant? Honestly, sir, I never saw this until inside the... Well, I didn't get it clearly until when I was in the aircraft. It came strongly to me that really, the reason why Jesus decided to go to the cross was because in the beginning, God had spoken a word and said, the seed of the woman will bruise, heal. You understand? And he spoke to Abraham. He said, your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. At different times, God had spoken. That was pointing to the Messiah that was coming. So it was absolutely impossible for Jesus to refuse to come. Absolutely impossible. So the reason why he came was because a covenant had been signed, had been made, had been caught. That's why he came. And if he came by the reason of the covenant, and we are the ones who are supposed to be partakers of that covenant, then that tells me that I need to understand what this covenant is. And you don't pray for it. You enter into that covenant. You enter into it. You enter into it. And I'll show us. Luke 13. Verse 11. You remember the story of the woman that Jesus healed. He says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself for 18 years. For 18 years. And then Jesus came and healed this woman. And all of a sudden, people started to complain. How wicked. If a woman had been bound, somebody had been bound for 18 years, and you wake up every morning, you see this woman bound. And all of a sudden, somebody healed this woman. And you started complaining that, why would this person heal this woman? Haba. That is wickedness. And all because you are saying that, the person did not respect the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? Amen? And you know, because Jesus, you know, you don't meet Jesus unprepared. He said in verse 16 of that same scripture, he says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? This daughter, this girl is a daughter of Abraham. She has a right to be healed. She has a covenant. She may not know it. She may not know it, but it's her covenant right to be healed because she's a daughter of Abraham. Because Jesus, the Bible says that every disease I will take away from you, and I will put none of the evil disease of Egypt upon you, for I'm the Lord your God that healeth thee. That's the covenant. That's the covenant. So the woman may not know it, but the covenant is still there. It's like the story that we always, when we share, we always talk about faith. There's the, it says, you have money in the bank, and you don't know that you have the money in the bank. And you keep begging around everywhere that, please give me money, please give me money, give me money. Amen? And you have money in the bank. You remain poor. Why? Because you don't have a knowledge that there's money for you in the bank. And that is like, that is the same with us. Praise the Lord. So let me quickly. One man that understood the covenant was David. And I'll quickly read to us in 1 Samuel 17. When the Philistine Goliath came to challenge Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? And taketh away this reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? The word uncircumcised is a word of the covenant. Because the word circumcision is a sign of the covenant. So David knew that despite this man I'm seeing, this man cannot be bigger than my God and the covenant I have with God. My covenant with God is stronger than. Who is this? Who is this? And he used that. Please look at that word. Uncircumcised. Uncircumcised. Listen, you are nothing before me. By why? Because you are uncircumcised. I am the circumcision of Israel. I am part of the circumcision. So who are you? You're uncircumcised. My God that I serve. Abba. I said, no. I'm coming to you on the basis of the name of the Lord of hosts. And you know, name also is a sign. It's part of the covenant. And we have the name of Jesus. I'm leaving here in a minute. Let me just quickly round up here. So if I'm in a covenant relationship, the covenant dictates that your problem is my problem. So in other words, God sees the covenant as saying, your problems are, in fact, I said the reason why Jesus came was because of the covenant. Now he saw us being unrighteous. He had righteousness. He knew we have a problem. So he came to take what? Our problem. He took it upon himself and gave us his solution. That's an exchange. So the reason why Christ sacrificed himself or gave himself a sacrifice is because based on the covenant, if you're in the covenant, for instance, just to digress, if Ukraine were to be part of NATO, Israel would not have attacked Ukraine. They wouldn't try it. Because there's a covenant that exists with all the nations in NATO that if you strike one, you have struck every one of them and they are coming to fight you. So that tells me that anytime Satan comes to you, he's pointing to God. He's coming to us. So understand the covenant. That each time you have a crisis, know that you're not alone in your crisis. Know that God knows about your crisis. Know that God has a solution for your crisis. So you need to understand that covenant and stand by his word and declare it yourself. That I know that my God lives. You cannot be more than me. It is absolutely impossible. I cannot be conquered. I cannot be defeated. I will not remain in sickness. Because I have the healing power of God residing on the inside of me. And that is the covenant. I understand the covenant. And I walk in that covenant. In the mighty name of Jesus. So no matter what symptoms are present in my body, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Regardless of what others may say about my health, by his stripes I am healed. In spite of past experiences, by his stripes I am healed. When pain strikes my body, by his stripes I'm healed. Wherever I am, by his stripes I'm healed. Regardless of how I feel in my body, by his stripes I'm healed. Even if symptoms reappear, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm healed. And I can boldly declare before sickness that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm greater than sickness. The Spirit of God that is in me is greater than sickness. So let's rise to our feet, brethren. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. Let's lift up our hands and begin to bless the name of the Lord. That Father, we give you thanks. 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 Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. Just one prayer in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And we are going to address like David addressed the Philistine. We are going to address every situation that is contrary to the will of God in our lives. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, I believe, he says, who are you, O great mountain? He says, before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. You see, he said, who are you? He looked at the mountain. It's a mountain, no? But he says, who are you? Now, listen, he called it great. So that means the mountain itself is big, is great. So no matter the crisis you face, it may be big, it may be great, but you can address it. And then when you are continuing to address it, you say, before me, you put your name, you will become a plain.
Amen.
So you are going to declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, I address this mountain, and I declare, in the name of Jesus, that who are you? O great mountain, before me, You will become a plane. I command you to become a plane. I command you to become a plane. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray. Tell that mountain to become a plane. Tell that mountain to become a plane. Who are you, O great mountain? Before me, you become a plane. You become a plane.